I'm Richard van den Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central episode 140 for the year-end holiday starting Friday, 18 December 2015.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, where you'll find South Africa's best technology journalism, even over Christmas.
That's right, Duncan. No headlines like, Zombie Father Christmas Ate My Dog.
On Talk Central this week, we chat about MTN fine headed for court in Nigeria and Vodacom forced to withdraw claims it has a 4G network.
Also this week, the top trending Google searches of 2015, and our pick of the biggest tech story of the year.
All right, let's get the show on the road. Welcome, Rafa.
How's it, Duncan?
Good, thanks. You're just back from Durbs, aren't you?
Yeah, I just had a few days there. We were exploring some craft breweries and the beach, obviously. It was actually quite a nice holiday. I've never really been there.
Where in Durban did you stay?
Westville.
My hometown is Durban.
Nice.
What craft breweries did you go to?
On Tap, that brewing company was the one that I went to. That was really, really cool. Poison City was another one further up the coast.
Poison City,
yeah, yeah. And then my prize stop was going to Yilcrest Spa. They've got a top liquor store that's got one of the best craft beer selections in the country.
Oh, really?
And they really have a spectacular selection.
Oh, wow.
So I got most of the breweries that I didn't get to. I got their stuff from there, which was very
great
nice.
Stuff, yeah, great yeah. stuff, yeah. Yilcrest has changed a lot. I grew up in Hillcrest.
Nice.
It's amazing when I go down there to see what it looks like now. It was a sleepy, tiny little village when I was growing up there. Now it's just exploding in every direction.
It's absolutely beautiful, and I'll definitely be back. I mean, I think it's, having never been there, it's very appealing there. Nice weather, good beaches.
Bit humid.
That's fine. We'll go in winter. How's that? Winter getaway.
Durban never really has winter. It's a great place to get
But very clean too. I'm very impressed.
Was it clean?
Yeah, it was very clean.
That's good to hear.
Very nice.
Good to
hear. Well, at least the places we went to.
Yeah. Last time I was down there, I was down there for a conference a couple of years ago, and we were in the city centre, and it was filthy.
I don't hang around the city centre, but the beaches were certainly well manned and clean, and
Durban beach
security guards everywhere, and missing children's tents and stuff.
Were you actually on the city beaches, or was it
on
the
Addington? What's it?
Oh, that's
Addington
main beach.
One of the main. We just kind of drove through there, so I didn't see much of this through to there, so I didn't see much of the city.
Okay.
But yeah, I was very impressed. Impressed.
Excellent. So anyway, let's. This isn't the tourism show. It's the tech show.
It's the tech show.
let's get straight into it. And as always, we start the show with a quiz. Five questions to test your knowledge, to see if you've been paying attention. Rechot, for our last Talk Central podcast of the year, do you want to kick off our last quiz of the year?
Yes, let me do that. So, when Cell C first claimed 6 years ago to have a 4G network, it changed the claim, or the logo if you prefer, to something else. What was it?
The second question, Google's new smartphones have gone on sale in South Africa. What are they called? We're looking for two models.
The third question, the first set-top boxes for South Africa's digital migration have been delivered in which small South African town?
Fourth question, J.J. Abrams directed the new Star Wars movie. Almost took the answer there. J.J. Abrams directed the new Star Wars movie, which is getting great reviews. Which other popular sci-fi movie franchise does he direct? And I think I've half given away the answer there.
Tesla is reportedly setting up a small office in South Africa too. In which South African city did Tesla founder Elon Musk grow up?
Nice easy one there. So those are the questions for this week. We'll get to the answers at the end of the show, so stay tuned. But let's get on to our news segment. And MTN is still in the headlines. I think it's been a discussion point in this podcast pretty much nonstop for the last two or three months now. But the latest development this week, in fact, announced just before markets closed in Johannesburg on Thursday, yesterday, was that they're heading to court. I think this was inevitable. They were fined, just to give the background again very briefly, because I think most people know it, they were fined $5.2 billion by the Nigerian Communications Commission for failing to cut off about 5 million SIM cards under that country's SIM card registration laws. They were fined an effective $1,000 per SIM card that was unregistered. They then went through a period of negotiation with the Nigerian authorities. Of course, the share price fell out of bed at the same time. They managed to reduce the fine by about 25% to $3.9 billion, which is still the biggest fine in the telecommunications industry in history. And they were then given a deadline of 31 December to pay the $3.9 billion, which at the current exchange rate is 60 billion rand, paid in full by the end of this month, otherwise face the consequences. Not surprisingly, MTN has announced that they're taking this to court. They're taking it to the High Court in Lagos. It's a brave move, I think. I don't think the Nigerian legal system is well developed as the South African legal system. Some people I've spoken to on this suggest that it could be pot luck in terms of the judge they get in this case. But I guess they didn't really have a choice. I don't know if they had the opportunity to consider international arbitration. Maybe I don't know if that's even an option in this sort of in this particular case. Probably not, given that they've decided to go through the Nigerian legal system. But if that fine gets upheld, it's a big problem for them.
Yeah, certainly, and it's going to be seeing that there's no precedent for something like this. It's going to be an expensive exercise.
Potentially a long one.
Mm. It's not looking good for MTN. It's going to be a bit of a struggle.
Yeah.
But they have to do this because they have to. You have to save your position, or at least your investment in that country. Mm. And this could severely impact that.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, that story is clearly going to run through into 2016. I don't know how quickly the Nigerian legal system works, but if it's similar to the South African legal system, I think we're looking at quite a drawn out process here. I'd imagine that this isn't going to be heard before next year. It's extremely unlikely, I think, it's going to be heard before next year. We'll keep a close eye on that one, but worrying time for MTN shareholders and for the company.
Certainly going to make news headlines early on in the year, that's for sure.
Anyway,
be back for more.
MTN's biggest rival, Vodacom, also in a spot of bother. They're nowhere nearly as much of a spot of bother as Vodacom. But they have been ordered by the Advertising Standards Authority to withdraw their advertising billboards that claim that they have a 4G network, which is an interesting turn of developments because it's kind of... Vodacom is kind of getting a taste of its own medicine here in a way, because about 5 or 6 years ago, they lodged a complaint against Cell C using the term 4G.
Mm.
Well, to be fair, Cell C really didn't have a 4G network back then. It was an HSPA Plus network, which is very much a 3G network that they were claiming was 4G. And they changed, and we're giving away a clue here to one of our questions. In fact, the answer to one of our questions. They then changed it to 4GS and claimed it had nothing to do with 4G technology and actually stood for 4 great service and 4 great speed. Anyway, they were forced to, if I remember correctly, they were also forced to withdraw the 4GS claims as well. So that was a complaint brought by Vodacom. And now, during that whole process, there was a lot of discussion about what entails a 4G network. And there was a lot of reliance on a definition that had been put together by the International Telecommunication Union, which defined 4G as 1 gigabit per second in a stationary environment or 100 megabits per second in a mobile environment. That technology could not exist before networks had deployed LTE advanced technologies. So what's happened now in the interim is that Vodacom has started using the term 4G because, as it points out in its response to Cell C, the media, vendors, just about everyone uses the term 4G to describe an LTE network, even if the ITU or whoever else hasn't actually codified it as such. It's generally understood, I think, that LTE is 4G. But because of this previous precedent set by the ASA and the debate that happened historically following the Vodacom complaint against Cell C, there's this set of evidence that was entered into in the discussions, and the ASA is now saying, but, you know, there's no clear definition here. We need an expert opinion to tell us that, in fact, what you're offering here is, in fact, 4G, and we've got this historic precedent. Mm. And so they've ruled against Vodacom in the Cell C complaint and said, sorry, you can't claim in your billboards that you have a 4G network, and they've been ordered with immediate effect to take those claims down. Interesting development. I think that the industry, the whole industry here, is shooting itself in the foot over this. I mean, the rest of the world calls LTE 4G. If you go anywhere in the world, you'll see companies advertising their LTE networks as 4G. Now, in South Africa, we've got this precedent-setting ruling by the ASA, which says, actually, you can't call it 4G. So all the operators, in effect, now can't call their LTE networks 4G. even though when you go and buy a handset and plug it in, it says 4G on it when you connect to an LTE network.
Oh, mine says LTE. That's quite
interesting. Does it say LTE?
Yeah. Oh, it's on Wi-Fi now.
Yeah.
I was my only opinion on this is if it's such a hassle, just, you know, don't use 4G in the marketing. Because clearly that's what it comes down to. That's what they are using it for, really.
It's for
naming their products and marketing.
But 4G is a less technical term than LTE.
For sure.
It makes more sense to use something like 4G because consumers understand the concept of 2G, 3G, 4G. But I suppose in the same way they understand the concept of Edge, HSDPA, HSPA. Because so many terms, the problem is there's so much terminology here, you need a way of simplifying it.
No, for sure.
Because you've got UMTS, HSPA, HSDPA, HSUPA, LTE, blah, 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 blah. GPRS, Edge, it doesn't stop.
It makes it easier to just to refer to it as one thing. And again, because it's a marketing thing, they can get away with calling it and retracting it. They get plenty of news coverage out of it too, which is...
And LTE really is a major technological step change over 3G, and it offers much better, much improved throughput. So, it does seem like a generational shift. So, I personally have no objection to people calling any form of LTE 4G, not just LTE Advanced.
No, for sure.
So anyway, they have to take down these claims now. I would imagine that Vodacom is probably going to look to appeal this now, and perhaps bring in some expert testimony to try and overcome this mess that they've effectively got everyone into now.
Another expensive exercise that consumers end up paying for.
Yes.
That's why our cell phone bills are getting more expensive.
Yeah. But anyway, now as far as I know, Vodacom will be the only network in the Vodafone global network that can't call its network 4G. Anyway, we need to take a break to hear a message from our advertisers. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Daddy's gonna buy you a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing, Daddy's gonna download you a bazillion things.
With Fatpipe from Vox Telecom, you get free data between midnight and 6 a.m. every night. That's an unshaped high-speed internet lullaby for the ears. To get yours, visit voxtelecom.co.za.
Well, welcome back to the show. So, Rechard, Google this week announced its top trending searches for 2015. I'm not quite sure what they mean by trending searches. I'm guessing this isn't the actual top search items. They've curated it to some degree to get rid of the rubbish.
Yeah, and I think it could also be a trending topics over a period of time. So whatever spiked over a period of time.
Yeah, but some interesting names that have come up under. You know, they broke it down into trending overall searches, trending South Africans, how to's that people searched for, what is definitions that people searched for. Trending current affairs, top tech terms, and trending political figures. I must say that half the names under the trending South Africans I've never actually heard of.
and half of the definitely the top trending searches are very odd in my opinion, and people certainly seem to be looking for an odd variety of things.
It's an odd list, isn't it? I mean, I'm very surprised to see the BMW i8 electric car amongst the top 10 search items in South Africa in 2015.
Yeah,
that seems a bit odd. Let's look at the top list. There's a couple of names in here I haven't heard of. Maybe you can help me out. the top trending overall search in South Africa this year was load shedding.
Yeah, for sure.
Which, fair enough. That's not a controversial one. The second one I've never heard of, August Alsina.
He's an American recording artist from New Orleans, funny enough.
Okay. Obviously not in the genre of and you go with you Wikipedia.
No. I just Google search trending results.
Ah, right. Should push him to number one with that search. Xenophobia came in at number three. Fourth was Cricket World Cup. Fair enough. Five is Lamar Odom. Who's he?
He's some American sports star.
Really? American sports star on South Africa's most trending list.
I think he's also got something to do with the Kardashians, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Yeah.
Give me Google and see what comes up.
I've just opened it up here.
Caitlyn Jenner at number six.
Yeah, he's married to one of the Kardashians.
Okay.
And he's a basketball player.
Very surprised to see it at number five in South Africa, to be honest. Seven is Adele, Hello. I've heard that song.
Yeah, that's may also be making
Flabber, I think, is a musician.
Yeah, that's also a musician, yeah.
BMW i8 at number nine, and number 10, Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah, that's also an interesting and odd one.
Mm. His new show is coming up soon.
I guess people were wanting to find out where he's been.
Yeah, he's been punching. I'm looking forward to his new show, I must say. Did you see that? You saw that that ad he did a couple of weeks ago, yes, for the Amazon drones? That was, yes, really cool. Yes. Yeah,
it's nice to see him actually. It's nice to see people, expanding their horizons and come up with new and interesting things and still keep their flair.
Trending South Africans, this is where I'm afraid I'm not plugged into the zeitgeist at all.
No.
Flabber number one, Simba Mahere number two, I've never heard of him. Casper Nyo Vest, I think he's a hip-hop artist, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Pastor Zondo, Collins Chabane, he's the former politician who was killed in a car crash. Poluna Lenkoe, I never heard of. Senzo Mayia, he's been in the news, I think. I forget why. Itumeleng Kune, Saba Mbikane, and Jackie Selebi rounds out the top 10 of trending South Africans.
It's also an interesting list of how-tos. People certainly want to do learn how to do a variety of things.
I'm particularly interested in number five.
but let's go to number one. Let's start from number one. How to cost.
Sure.
I reckon what? How to cost.
How to cost what?
Anything. Yeah. We should probably Google that and see what it says.
How to Google cost.
Chrome cost. How to cost. How to apologize is at number two. How to e-wallet. So that means there's some interest in digital money and digital banking, which is good to see. How to kick, probably is to do with rugby or soccer, I would imagine. Number five, how to smoke.
What is smoke? Who the earth turns to Google to learn how to smoke?
You see, we don't have advertising telling us what to do anymore.
It's a great ad. You have to rely on Google. how to treat, how to paint, how to prank, how to quickscope. And how to bat, round out the top 10. What is quickscope?
Quickscope. Let's take a quick Google search on that one.
Quickscope.
Oh, that's a gaming term in Black Ops. How to quickly mount your rifle into a scope position so you can shoot somebody with a sniper rifle.
Interesting.
Very interesting. No, gaming certainly making... Yeah. Making a huge impact there.
So the trending current affairs this year, number one in South Africa, number one load shedding, two xenophobia, three Charlie Hebdo, four Charlie Hebdo, five Ashley Madison, six Collins Chobani, seven Boko Haram, eight ISIS, nine Nepal earthquake, and 10 State of the Nation address. Interesting. But the list we're interested in, since we're a tech show, is the list of top tech trending terms this year. And I was quite surprised to see Windows 10 coming in at number one.
Yeah, that certainly means that, a lot of people who may have shied away from earlier revisions, I think, of Windows are really interested. Or I guess you can say people are just really interested in Windows 10. But good to see that. That obviously must mean, people are responding to the newer version of Windows. Are you still happy with it?
Yeah, it's fine. It's great OS. Yeah. For a desktop operating system, it's great. I don't think I'd ever buy a phone with it running on it. But it's a good OS. It's stable. It gets the job done. Yeah.
But number two, WhatsApp Web, which is, I guess, also a good one. People would WhatsApp Web to get to the website. A lot of people use Google search to find the URL or to get to the URL.
Yeah.
Nice service, but cumbersome to use because you have to scan at your code every time or after every session.
Yeah, it's a bit painful. I must admit, I stopped using it. I'd much prefer to have a Windows app or a Mac OS X app.
It's always running.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know why they don't do that.
Number three, Samsung Galaxy S6.
Yeah. Arguably the best smartphone of the year.
Yeah. iPhone 6S at number four. You can probably also say that about the iPhone 6.
Also arguably the best smartphone of the year, yeah.
Number five is a game, FIFA 16. Unbelievable how the FIFA franchise and gaming is still one of the major drivers of new consoles.
Despite the corruption scandal.
Yeah, exactly. Number six, the Google logo. Interesting. I guess people like the Google doodles.
Well, the new Google, I guess it's to do with the redesigned Google logo that was launched this year.
Sure.
People wanting to see what it looks like. Although, when you're in Google, why would you type Google logo when it's right above the search bar? But anyway. I suppose you could be coming in from the Chrome URL bar or somewhere else.
Yeah. At number seven, iPhone 7. People obviously looking forward to whatever speculation is happening now.
Yeah.
Number eight, another game, Fallout 4. Probably one of the biggest games of the year.
Yeah.
Number nine, Apple Watch. Certainly a lot of interest around that device and with its launch in South Africa. Mm. And at number 10, another game, Mortal Kombat X, Mortal Kombat 10.
Lots of games on the list this year.
Mm.
And lastly on the Google trending list this year was the trending political figures. Collins Chobane has featured very heavily throughout the list. He's at number one, followed by Jackie Salebi, the former police commissioner, Musi Maimane, the leader of the Democratic Alliance, Baleka Mbete, who's the Speaker of Parliament. Kingswell Atini rounds out the top five. I don't think we'll go through the rest of them. Yeah, those are the trending Google search in 2015. Some odd ones in there, really really odd ones, but so some I guess predictable, like load shedding at number one. But some odd ones, like a BMW i8, that one really...
Yeah, that was very interesting, very interesting.
Anyway, great. Well, that rounds up the news for this week. I thought just as a fun one, and we've spoken about it already this week, but just as a fun one, I thought we'd pick our top news story, top South African technology news story of the year, and I think there is only one candidate that that puts its head over the parapet, if you like. and that's MTN. The story has been running ever since it broke about two and a half months ago now. It's been in the headlines almost daily. The $5.2, now $3.9 billion fine imposed on the company led to a rout in its share price, and is going to story's going to continue running into next year, and it's definitely grabbed all the headlines in the tech space this year. So that's our big South African tech news story of 2015. MTN.
Yeah.
We normally at this point would get onto our winner and loser of the week, but while we're on the subject doing our picks of the year, I think let's do our Apple product pick of the year. And we've had a bit of thought about this, and perhaps our picks are a little bit left field, but I think they're both very good. Rechot, do you want to kick off with your top product pick of 2015?
No, my product pick certainly isn't a new product for 2015, but it's brought out a lot of interesting updates to its new subscription model, and that is Adobe Creative Cloud. And I use this suite of products daily, and I must be honest when I say that it's been nice to see so many regular updates to software that I use regularly, not just bug fixes, and there aren't very many that I've picked up, but also cosmetic changes that make the workflow a lot easier, from Photoshop to InDesign, After Effects I use quite often these days as well. And then back into Premiere Pro, the workflow really is well laid out. And the integration with your mobile apps, you know, you can access some of your libraries and do some, you can access your files via their cloud interface or their cloud services that's built into the Creative Cloud package. The whole workflow is just really nice, and I've really been enjoying using it again. And it certainly stood out for me above everything else that I've interacted with this year, simply because you're paying monthly fee, and I think you're getting good value for that if you use those app suite daily.
Okay, I must say I love the Photoshop ability to do content aware. I think it's my favorite feature in any piece of software. It's like, it works like magic.
No, that's it's
fill in an area of a picture. You just literally draw a marquee block box around it, and I think it's hit shift backspace and magically it fills in the blank area based on what's around it. It's amazing software.
But so many other tools within the package is so intuitive.
Yeah.
You know, especially on the video side, where it's become increasingly more effective to do very high-end graphic stuff.
Yes.
If I can put it like that. Even, if, you know, you can teach yourself how to do it. It's very intuitive.
Yeah. And on the monthly subscription models, it's actually not an expensive product.
Yeah, I mean, it's $50. So obviously with the exchange rate, we're suffering a bit.
Yeah.
But you know, as a professional suite, I would expect somebody who uses this to actually be billing a part of it, so they'll it'll be built into what they bill out to a customer. But it's well worth. And you can get the apps alone if you want for $20, which are even more affordable.
Yes. Is that on a rental basis?
Yeah. It's a subscription, but it's so worth it because you're getting like I said, monthly updates almost these days, and there's some really interesting stuff. Stuff that they're doing with the platform.
Yeah. So $50, you're getting the full video suite, the Photoshop.
Yeah, that's everything. So for $50, that's a complete package.
Yes.
And then you get 20 gigs of storage space. So you can store a lot of your libraries, stuff that you reuse often. I put up there fonts. The font libraries are amazing. And you can just pick them and import them. I also subscribe to their stock photo now, their stock photo suite. And it's not as good as Shutterstock, but they're certainly a lot of stuff for good, reasonable value for money. About $2 an image.
Okay.
$30 a month.
Very good. Adobe Creative Cloud, latest edition. Go check it out.
Yeah.
My pick of the year is something I'm using almost on a daily basis now, and it's become so integral to my keeping up with what's going on in the world that it's my pick of app of the year, product of the year, app of the year, and that's Pocket. It's absolutely brilliant. I sit at my desk. I'm very busy during the day, but I keep an eye on Twitter, and people have been, especially over this Jacob Zuma finance minister issue that's broken over the last week and a half. There've been some really great editorials written, great opinion pieces written on the subject, which I just haven't had the time to read during the day because I've been busy with my normal work. So Pocket is integrated into your web browser. I use a plugin for Firefox. You see something on Twitter, just fire it up into a web browser and hit the Pocket button in Firefox. And then that evening or that weekend when I've got some time, a couple of hours to spare, I'll fire a Pocket on my iPad and I'll read through all of the content that I've effectively bookmarked through using Pocket over the course of the previous days. And last night I used it to read through about 10 pieces that were published all over the place on this Zuma finance minister firing issue.
Nice.
It's content that I otherwise wouldn't have had a chance to read, so it's almost like delaying my reading, and it's like a bookmarking mechanism that allows me to catch up with content that otherwise would have missed, that I'm really keen to see, and it's been around for a few years, but it's become so indispensable to my daily life and my daily consumption of media that I can't actually imagine living without it now. So that's my app pick of the year, Pocket. If you aren't using it, you should be. Go check it out.
Nice. Well, I just downloaded it, and I think I will be using it because that's the only way to read the web, you know.
Yeah.
Save a link as you see it.
Especially on Twitter, because there's people often posting great content, links to great editorials, content, columns, whatever it is. And you can simply just hit a button and read it later when you've got time.
Nice. Yeah, I use the favorites or the likes or the love, the heart now.
Yeah.
For all my favorites on Twitter, and that's the only way I can.
Do you go back to it though?
Yeah, I've got in TweetDeck. I've got a column that lists all my favorites.
Okay.
There's thousands there.
So you can then go into TweetDeck or Twitter on your iPad and read it later. I just find the convenience of a dedicated app. You just fire a
Pocket. No, it is much easier. The only reason I can use it on TweetDeck is because I use TweetDeck all the time.
Yeah.
So it's just a column if I need to go back to it. But this seems more intuitive.
Yeah. Anyway, those are our picks of the year. So let's get back to our winner and loser. We're not doing winners and... no, we are, actually. I beg your pardon. We are doing winners and losers of the year. Let's start with our loser, because it's an obvious one. We've discussed it already, and that's MTN for this massive fine that's been imposed on them. They really are the newsmakers of this year, and the loser of the year in this category. And our winner of the year was a little bit more of a difficult discussion that we had, but our winner this year is, I think, consumers of streaming products generally. Just because there's been such a proliferation of options of choice for South African consumers in the space this year, both in video streaming and in music streaming.
And a lot more people I interact with actually use one streaming service in the house these days. It's very strange. A lot of audio streaming, but a lot of people speaking about iMac, talking about iMac.
Showmax, you mean?
Showmax, IMAX. A lot of people are talking about Showmax, you know, and people that I wouldn't expect to have signed up for something like that. But I think it's this combination of two factors. So bandwidth, really coming into its own this year, I think, for the
fiber rollouts, LTE getting better.
And people are understanding that, you know, the world of online content, you know, people are talking about Netflix, but, you know, the local players launching, making it for South African credit cards at least a lot more accessible.
Mm. So, streaming services. I mean, I'm going to miss some, but let's try and list them. I mean, on the video side, we've had Showmax, which I think clearly has taken the early lead in this market. They've got a huge budget behind them. They're not only tackling the South African market, they're going into the Middle East, they're going into Europe, they really want to become a global competitor to Netflix, and, you know, Naspers is probably one of the few companies that can actually get that right. And they've got massive marketing spend behind them. If I was going to pick an early favorite to win the race for video on demand service in South Africa, I'd have to pick Showmax. But there are a range of them available, and some of them are coming to market with some pretty aggressive offerings. We've seen, for example, MTN come to market with Front Row, which has recently been rebranded as MTN View. But the compelling thing about MTN View is that if you watch it on using an MTN SIM card in your device, there's zero rated data. infinite zero rated data, which is very compelling. Must be costing them an absolute fortune. but it's early days, and they clearly want to draw a line in the sand and get market share. Yes. And we've seen a range of other ones launch. We've seen OnTap TV come to market. That's part of PCCW Global. Mm-hmm. They've been fairly quiet since their launch a couple of months ago. And
we've also seen one closure, haven't we?
We've seen it was kind of a hybrid satellite VOD offering called Node from Eltek.
Mm-hmm.
It was really badly conceived. I thought it was a great product, but it was designed by engineers, not with end users in mind, and it failed at huge cost to the Ultron Group. And we've also seen Times Media Group announcing that it's not going to get out of the market. Its VD service has not gained the traction that they were hoping it would, and they're looking to exit sometime during the course of next year. So it's a difficult space already, a highly competitive space, but Showmax certainly does seem to have taken an early lead. And of course, we all know that Netflix is coming to South Africa next year, and it's been rumored for months now that they're going to be coming in January. I think it could become a two-horse race between Showmax and Netflix.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be interesting to see Showmax's catalogue. I mean, if they can get some of the lucrative HBO HBO shows, as a result of the group that they're with, the backing that they've got, that could make them a very competitive player in this region.
It'll also be interesting to see what content Netflix comes to market with, because it's not going to be the American catalogue. It'll be a subset of the American catalog.
Probably a mixture of UK or probably more from a UK point of view, because that's normally what we get down here.
And one wonders if they're going to have any local content. One of the compelling offerings inside Showmax is that they've got a lot of Afrikaans content, which appeals to a niche, but large niche of the South African audience. I suspect Netflix is going to come to market without any South African content. But that may change over time.
Yeah. But look, to be honest with you, I think this is, again, why we chose this as a winning category or winning technology, because people will subscribe to more than one service.
And
it's the kind of thing where you can have the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
You don't have to have multiple satellite subscriptions or be locked into what you're offered. You can subscribe to Showmax and something like Netflix South African Edition when it launches, or even have MTN View running if you want to give your kids something to do on the iPad if they've got a SIM card plugged in.
Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense if you have the right mixture of technologies in your house and the right requirements for it.
Yeah, and then on the music side, we've seen some action as well. We unfortunately saw the closure of Radio. That's closing down officially on the 22nd of December. But at the same time, we've seen two of the giants of the tech industry, Apple Music and Google Play Music, being launched here. I've subscribed to Google Play Music. I used to be a Radio subscriber, and I love Google Play Music. I used to use it a few years ago through a VPN, but it's improved dramatically since I last used it. It's really great. The only thing I think it's missing is some of the social aspects that Radio had. But apart from that, it's a brilliant platform, and its catalog is outstanding.
No, I should actually start playing with it as well. But yeah, still very happy with my Simfy. Simfy Africa.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Anyway, that takes care of our winner and loser of the year, which means all that's left for us to do is to get back to the quiz.
Yeah.
So let's go through it. Let me start with the first question. We asked, when Cell C first claimed 6 years ago to have a 4G network, it changed the claim, or the logo if you prefer, to something else. What was it? And the answer is 4GS, or 4 Great Service, or 4 Great Speed. Lars Reichelt, the CEO at the time, said, to a great amount of disbelief, I think. But Vodacom now in hot water with the Advertising Standards Authority over the use of 4G. So swings and roundabouts.
The second question: Google's new smartphones have finally gone on sale in South Africa, and we wanted to know what are they called? And the answer was, or the answer is, the Nexus 5X and Nexus 6P.
The Nexus 6P is getting some good reviews. Our reviewer Andre Shield actually ran a review on it this week, and he gave it a solid 9 out of 10.
Have you played with it?
I haven't actually seen it. I'm tempted to get one, because I've always wanted a stock Android device that gets updated the moment new Android versions come out. But it's the phone is quite big, and it worries me a bit. I like big phones, but this one's a bit on the big side. 5.7 inch screen.
Keep it by the bedside. I think it can make for a good nighttime screen size.
Sure.
But yeah, no, it's always nice to have a device that gets updated immediately.
Yes.
It's well worth looking into.
So the third question we asked this week was, the first set-top boxes for South Africa's digital migration have been delivered in which small South African town? And the Minister of Communications was there with a whole lot of other industry representatives this week. And the answer, have you ever been there, Rechat?
No, I haven't.
I've driven through there. There's a little town on the banks of the Orange River in the Northern Cape called Kamoes. It's in the square kilometre array radio frequency silence zone.
Oh, yes.
So I presume that these are DTH direct-to-home satellite boxes that are being deployed rather than terrestrial boxes. But they are the first set-top boxes as part of our digital migration project, and they've been delivered to the very small rural town of Kamoes. And it's quite beautiful out there on the banks of the Orange River. A lot of people don't realize that when you go there, you're driving into a very arid, desert-like environment. But along the banks of the Orange River, it's one of the country's biggest grape-growing areas.
Oh, wow.
Vineyards, as far as you can see, running down the banks of the river.
So much to explore of this beautiful country.
Indeed.
Certainly have a lot of holidays planned for that.
Indeed.
The fourth question. J.J. Abrams directed the new Star Wars movie, which is getting great reviews. Which other popular sci-fi movie franchise does he direct?
And the reason we keep getting this wrong is because it's actually written incorrectly in the show notes. So we almost gave the answer away earlier, but if you haven't guessed it by now...
Yeah, it's Star Trek. The answer is Star Trek.
Star Trek.
He directed, I think, two?
It's two. He's done two, and I believe he's doing the next one as well.
I must be honest with you, I like his style. I thought what he did to the Star Trek franchise was very good. I really enjoyed those. Haven't seen the new Star Wars yet.
Apparently it's excellent.
I know.
I'm not really a Star Wars person. I prefer Star Trek.
I'm a Trekkie.
But I'm not entirely enamored of what he's done with Star Trek. I think he's perhaps drifted a bit far from the original storyline and premise, and turned into more of an action flick than anything else. But
fair enough.
But I still enjoy them.
It's good cinema adventures.
I still think the best Star Trek was when Captain Jean-Luc Picard was at the helm of the Enterprise.
Make it so,
number one. And then our last question this week was Tesla. Is reportedly setting up a small office in South Africa. So small, in fact, it's only going to have one employee to start with. In which South African city did Tesla founder Elon Musk grow up? And the answer, of course, to that question is Pretoria.
Yeah, I think he's getting a lot of pressure from his South African friends to, you know, at least make something available here so we can start talking and see what the interest is.
We want to see some of those Tesla cars on the road.
Yeah.
Not that I can afford one, but especially not at 15 to 1.
But I mean, BMW is doing a lot of great things for charging stations.
Yeah.
They're doing some good things, and it makes sense to now have more available, more
for
vehicles.
Sure. For sure. Anyway,
we'll get you one. We'll get you one in the garage.
That's our show for the week and for 2015. If you're going away this holiday, drive safely, and we want you back in the new year listening to the show. As always, if you've got any feedback for us on the show, anything you'd like to see us do differently, or just any feedback generally, you're welcome to send us a mail and we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is info@techcentral.co.za. Until 2016, from Rechat and myself, cheers.
Ciao.